Pablo Picasso's masterpiece, Les Demoiselles d'Avignon, was one of the most controversial pieces of art in the 20th century. Reviled and revered, it's been studied by art historians, railed against by other artists, and used as inspiration for new paintings, sculptures, and photographs. The Fleming Museum of Art at UVM has put together a multimedia exhibit that explores what influenced Picasso in painting Demoiselle and why it has engendered so many strong feelings. When you enter the exhibit, you should drop your modern-day perspective and transport yourself back in time. Fleming director Janie Cohen, a renowned Picasso scholar, takes us there.
So we're in Paris in 1907, in the summer of 1907, when Picasso is in the middle of painting Demoiselle d'Avignon. And this sound sculpture really creates his movement from inside his studio, out the door, through the streets of Montmartre. So inside, you hear the fire crackling, footsteps in the hallway, a knock on the door, and then the door opens, and you hear the bells of Sacré-Cœur, which was the big...
That's the door opening, the door knocking?
Exactly. Then you hear the bells, which come and go during the course of the... they're in random places during the course of the soundscape. And... So this is the huge basilicum that was, you know, kind of in the crown of Montmartre, and still is. And the bells were relatively new at that time, actually. So then you hear all the sounds that you would have heard walking through the space then, and they're very similar now, except for the horses.
But not so many horses in Paris streets anymore.
Not so much. But you hear the sounds of horses on cobblestones, and you hear birds, you hear pigeon wings flapping, you hear pigeons cooing, and you hear people in cafes, you hear silverware and glasses, you know, toast being made and chit-chat. It's very evocative. You really get the sense that you're there.
And why was this important to get people into this frame of reference, even with their ears, before they see anything?
Part of what I was trying to do with the exhibition is to really take you back to the moment, because it's really, the exhibition in the largest sense is really about Picasso's creative process. And when we think of him, we tend to think of him as the old master, but he was 25 years old when he painted this. And it was not only was it a game changer for him, and that's what he had set out to do. He was extremely ambitious. This was a very important moment because Cézanne, who had been the leader of the avant-garde, had died the year before. And there was kind of a vacuum at the top, and he wanted it. So, you know, he had set a huge, huge challenge for himself that he was just going to leapfrog over everyone else. So I really wanted to put the visitor there.
All right, so we've talked about this painting now, Demoiselles d'Avignon.
Okay.
Let's go see it. And, and, you know, you can describe what we're seeing, because sadly,
absolutely,
we're not seeing the actual painting.
Right, no, we're not. No, we're not, because it lives at the Museum of Modern Art, where it's been since 1939. It has left one time, which was for an exhibition in Paris and Barcelona about the painting. So it doesn't leave. What we have is a life-size projection of the painting projected on a canvas, which is 96 by 92 inches. And so it's essentially life-size. The five women on it are life-size. It's on a canvas. It's leaning up against the corner of the gallery at the Fleming. And what you have are five nude women in a very kind of a shallow, cramped space. Two of them are entering from the sides. The two of them are pushing back curtains to come in. And what it depicts are five prostitutes. So even the subject was shocking. I mean, it was a popular subject at the time because it wasn't the only one who did it. But there were a number of things that were absolutely radical in choosing this subject. Normally, most artists had made the prostitute seductive and welcoming and, you know, and conforming to the traditions of, you know, beauty in European art. Not so Picasso. And he, you know, again, he had just set out to make a shocking painting that would really turn art on its head. So what you have are these five women. They're extremely angular, and what you're looking at is the very beginning of cubism.
In fact, he said, I invented cubism about this painting, right?
Right, that's right, exactly. And the place that you really see it most, there are two aspects. In the figure on the right, seated on the right, You're looking at her from the back, but you're seeing her head from the front, and it's as if her head swiveled 180 degrees around to look at you. And that is really the most shocking figure of them. But all of them have very angular bodies. The background kind of confuses with the foreground. It's almost pushing into the foreground. And then, of course, you've got the African style masks on the figures on the two right. The figure on the left, the woman on the left, also seems to be wearing a mask, which is more kind of oceanic than African. And then the two in the center are not masked, and they're just staring straight out with no smiles on their faces. So it's not a welcoming group. And that was in part what shocked the viewers. And I mean, the friends of his and colleagues of his who saw it at the time were outraged by it.
Explain a little bit more why they were so outraged, because as you said, other people were painting brothel scenes, and certainly nudity was nothing new to painting.
Exactly. So the main reason, you know, there's stylistic reasons. So the Africanization, you know, the fact that they're not soft and voluptuous and curvy, they're very angular. One of the main reasons, aside from those, is that they are staring at us. They're staring back out of the painting, which was absolutely brand new. Now, obviously, in portraiture, you would have seen that, but not in genre painting or not in, you know, in this kind of subject. And particularly because if you think about traditionally the, you know, the male gaze and the female subject, even if the prostitute in any given painting was looking at you, again, she was receiving the male gaze of the artist and the viewer. Not so here. These women are looking at us, and that was primarily what was so outrageous about the painting. And it, you know, it frightened people. It made them angry. It was amazing when you hear the responses to it.
You actually have another soundscape where you can hear some of the reactions?
Yeah. If you stand on the sound icon on the floor, it sounds like they're in your head. So you might want to try that.
I'm going to pull my microphone up and see if I can get close enough.
I'm sorry for his audacious hoax. Monstrous. Horrid, grotesque, and hideous faces.
Colossal.
Like drinking kerosene in order to spit fire. Fire.
All right, so that one we just heard, like drinking kerosene in order to spit fire. Who said that?
That was Brock who said that. Brock, who then the following year began inventing cubism seriously with Picasso. You know, Picasso really had launched it in this painting. And then the two of them, they described themselves at that point as being tied together like mountain climbers. But he was outraged, and again, because, you know, because Picasso had jumped ahead of him and had, you know, had made this outrageous painting.
I'm talking with Janie Cohen, and we're at the Fleming Museum, and we're in the midst of this kind of amazing exhibit called Staring Back, and we're staring at a reproduction of the Demoiselles d'Avignon by Picasso. But this is not where the exhibit ends, so you sort of leave this studio setting, and now we head into a bigger gallery space, and we're not looking at Picasso.
That's right.
We're seeing other artists, and it, again, with the staring back, it's sort of a reflection of what Demoiselles d'Avignon inspired in them?
Yeah, exactly. So this is a group of contemporary artists looking back, staring back at Picasso and at Demoiselles, which at this point was painted 108 years before their work was. So I was interested in why it still has so much traction for artists. And many of the artists in the show and other artists who've, you know, who've looked at the painting and done work after it talk about it in the same way, like it's something they had to take on. There's this inevitability about it, which I love, because that's how Picasso talked about his predecessors and how he used their art. And you know, very different takes on Demoiselle and on Picasso, but I love this work.
It's hard not to look at the one that's right next to us here.
I
this
know.
Is, I think it's actually seven men. Yes, seven men.
Yeah.
So definitely not the women that we see in the Picasso. I mean, these are full frontal nudity.
Exactly.
And these men are staring at us as well. But they are in these sort of, some of them in sexualized poses.
Yeah.
But they all look very old and wrinkly as well.
Exactly. So this is a wonderful painting by Jerry Davis, who is a young artist in New York. It is one man. She hired him to pose, to model for it. So you see him in the poses in Demoiselle, but then you also see him in transitional poses. So it's very cubist in that way. You know, if you think about a cubist painting, you're looking essentially at one person from different perspectives. Here you're looking at one person from seven different perspectives. You know, in a different way than you would in cubism. They're kind of all full depictions.
But it's much more three-dimensional than...
Yeah, exactly. But you have, there are wonderful details in this that relate to the painting, like the head on the far right, where he has one eye closed and one open. If you look back at Demoiselle, the woman entering through the curtain has one black eye and one, I mean, she's got a mask on, but one of the eyes is very similar to that. And then there in the painting, the still life in the front is always discussed, you know, in the literature as being very phallic. And so here she replaces it with a shelf of oysters.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, it's also a bigger than life-size painting.
Yes,
it's really stunning and beautiful.
Isn't it? It has this kind of fire aspect to it. There's this orange that, I mean, the whole thing just looks like, you know, looks like it's a little bit on fire. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a little purgatory-like.
Yeah, it is, right, exactly. That's absolutely right.
One more that we haven't seen yet, I think it's around the corner, but that I would love for you to talk about, is this woman, looks like a photograph, very dark-skinned woman, topless, also wearing a mask. Describe more about what this is saying.
So this artist, African artist who lives in Benin, his father was the most well-known photographer in the area, in the country, and now his son, Léonce, has taken that over. And this series is called The Demoiselle of Porto Novo. So, you know, there are things about this that are initially disturbing. So, as you said, it's a black woman's body with a wooden mask over her head. She is nude from the waist up, and she is in a vast architectural space that you get the sense, and you're absolutely right, it is colonial. So what it is, these are women from surrounding rural areas that he has hired to model. The masks are vodun, or as we know under the term voodoo. I think he selected the masks, and so the women are wearing the masks and they're posing, and not in traditional poses so much. One of them is leaning on her arm.
What do you think it's saying about Picasso? Because, you know, there are these colonial references in this. It's also looking, looking at a woman's body, but the gaze back shifts the power dynamic a little bit from, this sort of objectification, and yet there is a lot of objectification in it.
That's exactly right. And that's why, you know, I think initially when you look at them, you don't quite know, you know, how to approach them. And so it's interesting. And I don't know. I really don't know. And there, you know, initially I had a moment of pause in showing them, but I thought that it raised interesting questions because, you know, is this kind of a post-colonial critique? Is it looking, you know, is it just responding to Picasso? Is it, really focusing on the ongoing series that he's doing and then just introducing some twist to it? So it's a kind of open-ended,
So in setting all of this up then and having it all together and being able to walk through, do you feel like your perspective on this piece of art has changed at all? Or are you trying to just open the rest of us all up to what has so fascinated you?
It's mostly the latter. And I'm not an apologist for Picasso. He was really an... something I can't say on the radio.
A jerk. Let's just leave it there.
But in what he did, in some ways, he really, in placing the gaze back on the women in the painting. And I think, you know, that the responses primarily of his male colleagues and cohorts says a lot. He made this painting that made his male colleagues and friends extremely uncomfortable. And he really put an agency into the painting, you know, which was not something that really was present in most other nudes at the time, particularly of prostitutes. It also absolutely wasn't present in these colonial photographs. So, you know, his twist, and it might have been by accident, you know, and I, in knowing him and knowing his motives to the extent that I do, that was not a motive. You know, what he was doing for himself. He was doing so that his painting could then, you know, he could kind of leapfrog into the forefront and really carry the mantle of the avant-garde and nobody else.
Well, it's fascinating to look at and to walk through with so many pieces sort of surrounding and swirling around you. Thank you for showing me.
Oh, absolutely. No, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Janie Cohen is a Picasso scholar and the director of the Fleming Museum of Art at UVM. The exhibition, Staring Back, runs until June 21st.